like to think they know something about football!
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and today I am flying solo. That's right, still coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, ready to talk some Packers. Mr. Banky is on the West Coast doing very important business stuff. So I'll be taking a look at your YouTube comments throughout the show. I'll be checking in on the chat so you guys can derail me off the script, much like Banky does each and every week. But right now, it is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've got the good. We've got Aaron Jones. We got the bad. We've got Josh Jackson. We've got the ugly. We've got Ron Zook. The Zooker. Never been uglier. And I understand there were some good moments in that game. There were some moments that made you say, oh, look, the guy's punting the way you expect him to. And they ran a fake and it was very successful. And the coverage was pretty good. But then you look at all the mistakes and you add that up with all the other mistakes that have been made throughout this season and throughout Ron Zook's tenure. And I'm sorry, Ron, but you got to go in the ugly this week. Enough is enough. And now they're headed into a spot, into a building, where special teams mistakes have doomed this team. So if there's ever been a week for sweet karmic redemption, it's this week for Ron Zook in the House of Horrors that is where the Seattle Seahawks play. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone in the chat. Look at all these people saying what's up. What's up? That's right. No Banky this week. He's out west. He's doing it, doing big time stuff out in L.A. I'm in here in the studio by myself with you fine folks. Talking about whatever the hell it is we're going to talk about. Let's get to the news, shall we? Because there is a little bit to talk about. Obviously, this broke yesterday, but the first item on the list is Kevin King, Randall Cobb, Nick Perry, and Kentrell Bryce all staying behind. The Packers heading out west late last night, but those four gentlemen did not make the trip. King and Cobb still both dealing with the hamstring injuries. There is a very, 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 very small chance that one of these gentlemen could suddenly be right as rain and make a surprise trip out west. But seeing as that has not been reported as of 5 Eastern on Wednesday, the day before the game, I'm pretty much putting that to bed. But those four guys will not be available when the Packers take on the Seahawks tomorrow night. On the Seahawks side of the ledger, the one kind of notable injury for them is KJ Wright has been listed as doubtful. So that they could be without a key linebacker for their defensive efforts. And then next up, we've got Trevor Davis. Trevor Davis could be back. It's not official yet, but he has been practicing. The Packers haven't announced it. Hell, they could announce it right now as I'm talking here late in the day. I'm sure PR maven Jason Wallers has waited specifically for this show to go live so that he can then release the injury report and announce that Trevor Davis is back. I wouldn't put it past him. He's petty like that. But as of right now, it's not official. But all signs point to Trevor Davis being back and being the returner. Something the Packers, let's face it, they desperately need. They need some help in the return game, especially after a week that saw Tremont Williams fumble away an opportunity. And then, you know, some I guess is news. It's not really news, but it's notable because tomorrow night you'll be tuning in. You'll be saying, what are the Packers wearing? It's their all-white color rush uniforms. And came out earlier this afternoon that the Seahawks, not going traditional Seahawks color rush, they're going all blue. So it's all blue versus all white. So do not adjust your sets. That's what you'll be watching tomorrow night. Speaking of tomorrow night, the first game in Seattle for the Green Bay Packers since, that's right, you guessed it, the meltdown in the NFC Championship game, it's really hard to think about. I think about where I was during that game, everything that was going through your mind as a Packers fan, moments, seemingly moments away from a Super Bowl trip to absolute dejection and horror. I tell you what, if there was ever a moment for redemption for Mike McCarthy, this is it. The entirety, seemingly, of Packer Nation wants the man out of town on a rail. You know, they're a middling team, lots of issues, even coming off a big time victory. People talking about wanting to fire the head coach. If he could go into Seattle on a short week and exercise some of those demons, I think that would go a long way to calming some of the fervor around his job prospects. But I know that's probably not going to happen, either the victory or people standing down when it comes to calling for Mike to be fired. Oh, the Nightman Cometh here on the chat has it right. My heart still hurts. I hear you, man. It's just tough. It's just tough. I remember thinking that idea that we were about to book hotel rooms to go down to Arizona for the Super Bowl. And I end up going down to cover the freaking game without the Packers. That just sucked. I had to watch the Patriots. Ugh. Yeah, I'm trying not to think about it. Funny that Jimmy Graham, who killed us in that game, now gets to help us win our return trip. It's interesting. It's funny how somebody earlier on the comment section here, do you think Jimmy Graham's lack of production is overstated? I do a little bit, actually. It's funny because, as Mr. Fleischman here goes on to note, there are some people saying that he isn't even close to good as Cook was, but in 2017, Cook had 377 yards and one touchdown. Graham has 439 yards and two TDs. Now, obviously, Cook missed extended time with an injury. And I do think the effect on the offense has been similar in that Graham has drawn a lot of attention and drawn, kind of defensive effort towards him, much like Cook did. I think the big change in perception comes with the lack of production in the red zone, because Graham was really sold as a guy who had scored a bunch of touchdowns in the red zone for the Seahawks the year before. No, I don't think anyone was under any illusions when it came to what he was going to provide between the 20s. I think we've gotten pretty much what we expected, especially when it comes to the Packers, who have never really featured the tight end as their number one weapon on offense, at least not even since JerMichael Finley. The big season they were supposed to have with Finley was ruined because of his injury. So I don't think that's been a surprise, but I do think some of the expected production in the red zone, in the name of touchdowns, obviously, hasn't been there. And I think some of that is Aaron Rodgers' reticence to throw 50-50 balls. Now, he's thrown a couple to Jimmy Graham, and Graham hasn't been able to come down with them. But I do agree that I think the gnashing of teeth when it comes to Graham is a little overwrought. But that's just me. It's just my humble opinion. But let's dive into the offense, shall we? We got people talking about the offense here on the chat. Let's talk offense. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, talking about his unwillingness or reticence to throw that 50-50 ball. Let's talk about Rodgers and, his continued struggles. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to put it. I don't think anybody with an objective mind. Now, the fanboys, fangirls, you cape up for your guy, and I get it. It's good. It's good. You're a fan. You're supposed to, right? But any objective observer of his game this season has got to say the man continues to struggle. And I get that he was injured earlier in the year, but he has been without the knee brace for a while now. They're playing him under center a lot more, indicating that his movement is better and freer. And for whatever reason, he is continuing to make throws like this. Anna, if you could roll this clip, this is just ugly. This is gross is what it is. Aaron Rodgers, play action, perfect pocket, well behind MVS. See it again. Play action, perfect pocket, well behind MVS. And here's the thing. These throws are coming often to the rookie wide receivers. And I don't know if there's something to his reticence, the timing, not trusting, etc. That's funny. You look at that clip and you look at his front foot. That's something that's a classic case of not pointing his front foot at his target, which would help drive the football where it's supposed to go. It's funny, whenever you ask him about fundamentals, he gets all prickly and, I've got fundamental trophies from high school in my house, blah, 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 blah. That's all well and good, but the evidence is there on tape. And you just know there's absolutely nobody in his ear pointing that stuff out. Or if they are, it's in a really cursory manner, because it's been this way all year. Now, the problem is later on in the same game, he makes that touchdown to Davante Adams. That throw is very similar. He doesn't step into that. It's all arm. He gets some rotation on his body where his real power comes from, and it's a great throw. It's a touchdown. So because he can get away with that stuff, in the past, those horrible throws were few and far between. They have become far too commonplace in 2018, and that, to me, is the biggest issue. More than anything, you see the decline in his production because of a problem in fundamentals. Well, that's something that needs to get broken down. And that's what happened when Mike McCarthy came in after Mike Sherman. He really broke down Favre's game. And I think Aaron Rodgers is starting to reach that point where he needs someone to come in and completely break down the game, because the familiarity around him and the reticence around him to kind of step in and get hardline with the guy is pretty evident to me. Now, that's not me calling for Mike McCarthy to be fired or saying that he's going to be fired, but it's starting to trend in that direction. The need for a new voice is pretty apparent when I look at Rodgers' game. Next up, we got another Aaron Jones, the talk of the town, the toast of the town after his big output against the Dolphins. He needs to be Aaron Rodgers' best friend. I don't think I'm saying anything revolutionary here. I don't think anybody would say that's a surprise in any way, shape, or form, but it needs to happen. And I get that some of what happened on Sunday against the Dolphins was opponent-specific. I get that they were able to block it up front, and that really opened everything up, really, offensively. They're going into a much tougher situation up in Seattle, a place where they can't really use snap count, can't do much at the line of scrimmage. The defense is going to be able to kind of tee off, so to speak, but they've got to get Jones involved and run the offense through him. He needs to be Aaron Rodgers' best friend. I made the point during the watch party that Aaron Rodgers was like Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi waiting for Rey to show up. Well, Aaron Jones needs to be Rey, especially on Thursday night. On a short week, when you can't install a whole lot of new stuff, you got to ride that running game. Let those guys up front do the job. And that's the other thing. I think the offensive line, it's funny. I see a lot of slander when I go online and look at comments about the blocking, either in pass pro or in the run game. But I'll tell you what, they've been an unheralded bunch when it comes to the run game this year. There's no doubt about it. They are opening holes, and they are working very efficiently. Julian says, Aaron Jones, the GOAT. I like it. What's the beer choice tonight? Josh, a wet one. Time to get the 33 jersey. Absolutely. Next up, it's funny. I saw someone earlier in the chat asking about McCarthy's decisions each and every game to defer when they win the coin toss. Now, it's true. They want to double up. They want to score at the end of the half and then get the ball back to start the second half. It's the classic Madden situation, and obviously lots of people around the league have adopted it, including Mike McCarthy. The thing that's killing them right now, though, as of Sunday, they are the second to last in the league at scoring at the end of the first half. Inside of 2 minutes to end the first half, they are second to last in the league at scoring points heading into halftime. So it's one thing to say, oh, we want to get the ball at the end of the half, score, and then get it back again at the start of the second half and then score again. And they've been great in the third quarter. The third quarter's been kind to them. But the end of halves has absolutely been abysmal, atrocious, pick a word. I think Sunday is another perfect example. You know, they're driving. They've just gotten over the 50. It's third down, and Rodgers takes a hellacious sack, takes them out of field goal range, and they have to punt. It's happened time and time again. I don't know if it's a tempo thing. I don't know if it's a play selection thing. I don't know if it's whatever Rodgers is doing at the line of scrimmage, maybe changing, checking, etc. But they have got to look at it, and they've got to correct it. Because if they can start scoring there at the end of the half, then their gambit of deferring makes a lot of sense. But if they're continually shooting themselves in the foot, doesn't make much sense. Finally, talking about making sense, Thursday night, it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy there in Seattle. As Mike McCarthy says, they have the best stereo system in the league. The stadium itself is designed to make noise. It's an echo chamber by design. So, you know, silent count, communication, it's all going to be key. It's all about the Packers staying simple and using nonverbal cues to get things going on offense, because they're not going to be able to hear much. They're not going to be able to think big time. Big time. Julian making me die here in the comment section. Should we sign Nathan Peterman? Oh my goodness. I got a drink on that one. When we got our offense rolling in 2014, we were taking the ball in the first half and scoring, which getting an early start helped our momentum. I agree somewhat, Nightman. I think regardless of when they get the ball, whether they get it first or after the opponent has gotten the ball. They just have to be more efficient on opening drives, period. It hasn't been a great point for this team in 2018. It's something that they have been very good at prior to this season, but this year they've really struggled. The last couple of weeks they've moved the ball well on their openers, but on balance this season it has not been great. Brett asking, any advantage to Pettine working for Seattle last season? I would think it would be minimal, Brett. He may have some knowledge of personnel / kind of philosophy things when it comes to Pete Carroll, but you remember they've switched both sides of the ball coordinator-wise, and you got to remember Pettine worked remotely. He didn't even work in the building. He was a consultant, and that includes working from home, essentially. So I think his exposure to everything inside the Seahawks headquarters was minimal. But I do think, you know, some things can be gleaned, whether it's, like I said, philosophical stuff about how they attack certain situations, et cetera. Certainly, he could be privy to some of that information, but you have to think the Seahawks are well aware of what he was privy to. Let's switch over to the defense, shall we? The Packers defense, and I just want to... Anna, can I address my camera for a second? I want to make this a little more intimate here. Just a little second. We got my camera here. I just want to go over here because I need to say something. I just need to let this out. And I don't do this often, but I feel it's important. I feel it's my duty as someone who opines on the Packers on a day-to-day basis, many people around the internet, whether by enjoying it or hating it, come to my Twitter feed, come to these shows and say, Aaron, what do you think about XYZ when it comes to the Packers? And I give my opinion. And sometimes it's a strongly worded, strongly deigned response. And sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's off the cuff. But there was one take that I had this summer that I was ardent in and I was strong behind. And I thought I was 100% correct on. And it has turned out to be incorrect. I was wrong. About Kyler Fackrell. I thought he could never be a player. I thought he was inconsequential. I thought they could move on without any issue whatsoever. Now you fast forward to week 11, and they are being kept afloat on defense, a lot of it due to the play of Kyler Fackrell. And I'm not sitting here telling you he's Reggie White. I'm not sitting here telling you he's a great player, because he's not. But his effort and his ability and the down-in, down-out determination / effort that he gives has been excellent. And he has really helped them on the edge, something I never in a billion years thought would be the case, sitting here mid-November in 2018. So, Kyler, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. You're balling out, man. Keep it up. There you go. In praise of Kyler Fackrell, had to be done. Like I said, man, I when I'm wrong, I want to say I'm wrong. I was wrong about Kyler Fackrell. Again, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying they don't need to address the edge when, you know, the offseason rolls around. But, man, right now, he's really helping this team. And that is something I never in a million years would have thought would be the case. So there you go. Talking about maybe not surprises, but things that I'm happy to see developing are Raven Green and Tony Brown contributing on Sunday to a victory. Two guys who were unheralded. I really liked Green this summer. Anybody who's watched Packers Daily or been here on Transplants, you guys know I like this kid as a player. I was excited to see him finally get his opportunity on Sunday. Brown is somebody who Packer fans seemingly only knew because of his penalties prior to Sunday's game, but he was involved as well. And I think these two guys have some talent and could really help the team down the stretch. It will be interesting to see how much they are deployed and in what capacity on Thursday night in Seattle. But these are two kids who Aaron Rodgers spoke about it at his locker, talking about you never know when your opportunity is going to arise. That's the beauty of the game of football. The NFL season, the way it stretches out, It's long, it's winding. You never know when your opportunity is going to come, and it's your responsibility as a pro to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think both of those kids started to do so on Sunday against the Dolphins. And here's hoping it continues tomorrow night. Finally, on the defensive side of the ball, I've done it before. I'm going to do it again right now. Kenny Clark is a Pro Bowler. Not only is he a Pro Bowler, he should be in serious consideration to be an All-Pro. And he is absolutely the MVP of the defense. He is a man among boys, and he's only 23 years old. I cannot sing this kid's praises enough. If you get the chance, both Andy Herman, our Andy Herman here at Cheesehead TV, and the Athletic's Ben Fennell have done some really cool film work on Kenny Clark in the last 24 hours. Andy's stuff is up on his Twitter account. I'm sure he'll have it up in his tape review later this week. Ben Fennell put up his stuff earlier today on The Athletic. I encourage you all to go check all of that out and see just what a force Kenny Clark has been, because he is balling, and he's only 23 years old. He's impressive, and the Packers are lucky to have him. All right, so with the offense, defense covered, let's wrap up the Dolphins game by looking at another edition of Mike's Best and Worst, something we've brought back from yesteryear. We started doing it last week. We did another one this week for the Dolphins game. Anna, roll Mike's Best and Worst. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Mike's Best and Worst, the Packers Week 10 edition, a 31-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, when you blow out a team at home, there's a lot of good to talk about when it comes to the coach. The obvious thing being the final commitment to Aaron Jones as a lead back, but that seems a bit obvious. It's all the headlines on Monday morning, so let's go with something a little bit less obvious. The use of the tight ends, namely getting them on the field, both Jimmy Graham and Lance Kendricks, over 60% participation. Their offensive snaps were up, and so was the production in the run game. It was not a surprise correlation there. Obviously, they used them a little bit in the passing game, but I think the production in the run game speaks to a use of the bigger bodies. On the bad side of the ledger, can we stop sending guys 15 to 20 yards downfield on fourth and short? Third and short. I know Aaron Rodgers has a propensity to hold the football, but help the guy out a little bit. This continual need to try and push the ball downfield is going to be the end of this team. Mike, that's under your control. But overall, that's a bit of a nitpick. A really good job by McCarthy, winning a game his team should have won going in, and they did going away. Stay tuned for more here at Cheesehead TV. Make sure you subscribe, like, share us on Facebook, join our Patreon. We do it all for you, devoted Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. There you go, Mike's Best and Worst, number two this season in the books. Can't believe we didn't think to bring it back earlier this year, but the whole reason I wanted to bring that back initially was because of the mountains of hate that I see Mike McCarthy get on a day-by-day basis on the internet. And I just thought I'd throw out a little, so, you know, the guy does good work too. Like, this idea that, like, Mike's terrible and he needs to be canned and blah, blah, blah. It's like, the guy is a good football coach, and just no one wants to kind of acknowledge that. Yes, might his message be getting stale? It's a good possibility. But that doesn't mean he's not doing some good stuff. So that's the only reason we keep running that. We're going to run it every week. I want to thank you guys all for staying tuned here. I saw someone saying, Transplants is going too fast. Don't worry, I'll get to more comments later so you guys can derail me. I'm just getting through the script here. When we get past blogosphere, I'll turn it over to you guys. We can have a mini Packers Daily. But right now, we're going to talk Packers at Seahawks. All sorts. We got three keys to the game, according to Mr. Nagler here. Number one, the red zone defense. Red zone defense needs to step up much as it did against the Dolphins. Now, of course, doing it against Brock Osweiler is one thing. Doing against Russell Wilson, that's something else. And yes, if you caught that, that was, look, good against remotes is one thing. Good against the living, that's something else. First one in the chat that gets that reference, you're going to have an eternal shout-out from Aaron Nagler. So the red zone defense, they need to step up. Look, the Seahawks are going to run all over the Packers. And I know I put that up on Twitter and people get all upset and, oh, we got Kenny Clark, we got Mike Daniels. And yes, I know the Seahawks are going to run all over the Packers. The key is going to be limiting their effectiveness in the red zone because they're going to get there quite a few times on Thursday night. They have to hold them to field goals. They can't get into a shootout, and they have to limit the scoring opportunities for Russell Wilson and company. It's going to happen. To me, it's all about red zone defense on Thursday night. Next up, survive the early energy surge that is sure to accompany the start of this game. Obviously, the first time the Packers have come in since the abomination of the NFC Championship game, clearly, these two teams, it's interesting, this week has not been as charged as years past when it comes to the Packers-Seahawks. Had become a really intense rivalry. I sense that's cooled a little bit because the teams are both fairly middling this year. Every year they've been, big-time contenders. And people want to say, like, you know, these teams are going to vie for supremacy in the NFC. Well, that hasn't been the case this year for obvious reasons. And I think some of it is to do with their record. Some of it is the Legion of Boom is no longer in place. They were the real villains there for Packers fans, especially Richard Sherman. And that's all gone now. What's left in this place is still a well-coached football team that probably isn't as talented, but is still no less formidable, especially at home on a short week. But that initial energy surge from the crowd, from the environment, the Packers have to survive that. They can't let it spiral out of control early. If they can just weather the storm, they should be able to go toe-to-toe with this team. And finally, they need a break. The Packers need a break. They need something to go their way, whether it's a special teams turnover, a ricochet ball for an interception, maybe a surprise onside to steal a possession, a successful one, obviously. They need something to go their way that gives them a little bit of momentum, sucks away that energy from the crowd. Because, look, this is a tall task. This game in particular, more so, I think, than the game in L.A. or New England, this is a tough ask on a short week after a game that was moved back later in the day on Sunday to turn around, to fly out west after, basically 2 days. This is a tough, tough order for Mike McCarthy's team. And they're going to need a break, maybe even two, something freaky to happen in their favor that allows them to kind of pull off an upset, because that's what this would be. All right, it's time. It's time for that venerable series, Anna. Hit it whenever you're ready.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. This week, I wanted to draw attention to something that happened post-game. So this is it's in the Packer blogosphere because it's on Packers.com, part of the blogosphere, clearly. But this was Aaron Rodgers being asked about the lack of Legion of Boom and the kind of nemesis factor. But in passing, he mentions the environment and the Seattle fans, and he catches himself and, not wanting to belittle and or have it taken as a shot at Packers fans, kind of wraps himself in a bit of a pretzel. I thought it was kind of funny. Anna, roll it.
Well, it's going to look different for sure. We've played them many times over the years. A couple tough ones up there. And then a couple great ones at home. So it's a tough place to play. It's super loud. It's the loudest environment in the NFL. And they're loud the entire time, not just once you break the huddle. They're loud when you're in the huddle. They're smart fans when it comes to noise. So it doesn't matter who's back there. That wasn't a shot at anything. It wasn't. It really wasn't. I love our fans. They still do the wave when we're on offense. It's okay when it's 31-12. It's not that big of a deal. If it was, 31-all, maybe, take it easy. But I think they get a little bored maybe sometimes. And then they're like, what are we going to do here? Because I was watching from the sidelines at one point. It was in the third quarter, and I saw like four people right across from me. So it would be behind their bench about the 40-yard line, kind of stand up and do it. And I was like, I'm thinking to myself, I bet you they do it when we're on offense. And they did. We love them.
Aaron, a few years ago, I think Peyton had the people in Denver get a Jumbotron sign, stop doing the wave or stop making noise, offense at work. Do you think they need to do that here?
No, just keep playing, roll out the barrel and doing the beer races, and we're good to go, man. We don't have to change anything.
I was not trying to get you into trouble there with the
family. That's okay. That's all right. I think I got myself into trouble.
I mean, we talk about it every week on this show, right? And anybody who's watched the Madden previews knows Banky's bugaboo about go Pack go on offense and the wave on offense. What's up, Lambo? Come on, Lambo. See, I see Rodgers getting like trying to backtrack and like, maybe, oh no, the fans are great, fans are great, fans are great, but he's right. Come on, people. Go Pack go on defense, wave on defense. There's a noise on defense. It shouldn't be difficult. I understand it's cold and you're all drunk and it's a lot of fun and whatever. But help the team, man. Help the team. That's what you're there to support the team. But anyway, I love that bit. I thought that was a lot of fun. Rodgers having a good time with it. Ryan got it. Quote is from Han Solo in Star Wars. Thank you very much. Ryan, you have my eternal gratitude for catching that reference. Thank you very much. I love everyone on the package. Gold package crowds are terrible. I tell you what, Mike, I used to say that all the time. Now I'm just like, I don't really even notice a difference anymore, to be honest with you. It used to be the gold package was like the crazy group. Like they were the ones who tore it up. That all switched in the last like 5-8 years or so, though. Aaron says, I referred to Tremont Williams as 4,000-year-old on Facebook today and got torn apart for it. Guess they didn't get it. Yes. Unless they're one of the members who watch our watch parties, they're not going to understand that reference. So I'm sorry you went there and got torn apart for it. Let's see. Let's get to some chat questions, shall we? I love it. Do you think Lil Wayne is a true Packer fan? John, this is a question that has vexed me for a long time. And the answer, of course, is no. Anyone who could cheer for the Saints a couple years ago as he did because they were in the playoffs, they were making a run when Favre was like coming to town, etc. Like, no. No chance. Like, he can be all green and gold, whatever. No. He jumped ship definitely for a little while, so he's done. He's done. Stadium auto starts the Go Pack Go. Gary, that would be true, except during breaks, usually. Will there be a watch party tomorrow night? Yes, Mike, there will be. We will be watching. I think Banky's flight gets in 20 minutes before kickoff, so he may be late joining us. Unfortunately, there will be no Madden preview this week, and I'm sure you're all broken up about that. We'll be back with Madden previews next week. Packer fans need to bring the nasty. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like how Lambo is not nasty. I think they just need to be louder at the appropriate times. Is this a must-win game? When do must-win games start? Asks Aaron. A lot of Aarons. No, it's not a must-win. As Marv Levy famously said, World War II was a must-win. But I think they can afford to drop one more game this year. That's the reality of it. So I think the Minnesota game is much more important. For obvious reasons, divisional foe, somebody you're tied with, literally. You know, they've got to win their division games. They can't afford to fall too far behind in the division race. It's nice that Minnesota and Chicago are going to beat up on each other this weekend, but they need to keep pace with those teams. And the Minnesota thing is nice because they have a 10-day rest prior to it. Tomorrow night is a tall task. Week two of the playoffs for the Packers, right? Just play me after the show. Sure thing, Glomar. Timberlake is a Packer fan, too. Mikey is. At least he'd never jump ship. He's been tried and true. He even said it at the Super Bowl when he was performing. Someone tried to get him to say, go Pats. He said, go Pack. That's a Packer fan right there. Don't put things in perspective like that, Nags. Not fair. Sure, it's fair. Come on. Hundley was traded just to be an inside guy for this game. Clearly, the Brett Hundley revenge game has been the underplayed storyline of the week. Do you think Rodgers is physically 100% or his problems are more mental slash trust issues? Josh, I think it's more the latter, but you would be silly to completely dismiss the health factor. I think the knee will bug him probably all year. I don't think he's 100%. That said, you line up between the white lines, you will be judged accordingly. That has been the case in the NFL forever. Everybody on the field is dealing with something, and almost everybody on the field is dealing with something that's not on the injury report. That's just the nature of the game. But I think it's pretty clear that Rodgers is still not quite 100%. But that doesn't excuse, decision-making. That doesn't excuse that missed MVS we showed earlier. That's got to be one of the ugliest balls I've ever seen him throw. You know, he has got to do what he needs to do to overcome whatever ailments he may be having and be the guy that they entrust him to be, that they have designed their entire offense around. Clearly, they need to lead on Aaron Jones. We've talked about that 100 times. But he still needs to deliver on clean looks like that. I mean, that's football 101 right there. Expect to see a lot of Morrison. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how much three-man line versus two-man line they go with. I wouldn't think you'd see a massive uptick. The Seahawks, for as much as they like to run, they are the number one rushing team in the league. Especially on attempts, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of power out of them, which would lead me to believe that I don't see the Packers using a ton of Morrison, but you never know. The problem is you've got to always be prepared for when they flex out of whatever, say two tight end thing they're in, and all of a sudden they widen those guys out, and now you've got a passing formation, and you've got Morrison out there to guard one of those tight ends. That's trouble. Is Perry playing? LOL. No, Sly. He did not make the trip, so he will not be playing. Tony Corrente will, in fact, be mauled by McCarthy if something controversial happens. Glomar, I was trying to get through this whole show without mentioning Tony Corrente, but yes, he is the referee tomorrow night. And that is like the NFL having a really bad sense of humor. But Tony Corrente, the guy who single-handedly cost the Packers a victory earlier this year. And yeah, save your excuses for you have to overcome the officiating, blah, blah, blah. He made a horrible call, a game-deciding call in week two, robbing the Packers of a victory. So who do they give the game in the house where the Fail Mary went down? Oh, yeah, let's give it to Tony Corrente. Because, hell, let's just, stop pretending we're not trying to rob the Packers of something. I mean, ugh. It's so, so disheartening. If Seattle's weakness is the secondary, will this be a big game for EQ? Stymie, I'm not sure I'd agree that their weakness is in the secondary. I think their weakness is actually run defense. I think the Packers can run on this team. And I think that will lead to a lot of Aaron Jones for the second week in a row. As far as EQ, I think he can be effective. I think his height definitely gives him something to work with, but it's going to take Rodgers trusting him. In certain situations, which, he's connected with the kid quite a lot in the last couple of weeks, but I'm not sure it's going to be a situation where all of a sudden he's, a primary target. This guy hates the Packers. You're talking about Corrente, Graham status, Thomas, he should play. Is Perry post June 1st? We only lose about $3 million in dead money, I believe. Yeah, Cameron, I will be very surprised if they do not either cut him or redo his deal, either one or the other, but I can't imagine they hold on to him at his price point heading into 2019. Who do we root for on Sunday night? I guess the Vikings. I mean, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Root for a tie, I guess. Root for the football. Nags is going to miss 4,000-year-old Tremont Williams returning punts. Nah. It'll be fine. I'll be all right. Trust me. I think they get schedules in the beginning of the season, just like the teams. Don't be mean. Julian, don't be mean? Who are you talking to right now? Come on now. Green Bay, home of hamstring injuries and the Packers. It's only sad because it's true. EQ in the slot on Thursday. Possibly. It's funny. They used MVS in the slot quite a little bit. I think you'll see a lot of guys rotated through. I think MVS and Devontae will see a bunch of time inside to try and free them up. Give me Tony Brown returning punts. Glomar, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, I'll take one or two more here, and I'm going to shut it down. I'm rooting for the Vikings. Vomits. Daniel, I think you just covered it pretty well right there. Would Nick Collins have gone on to be a Hall of Famer? Whoo, Nightman, that is a tough question. Probably not, because, look, you got Leroy Butler sitting there waiting. You got a logjam of safeties. I mean, John Lynch, for God's sakes, is almost in. I mean, he was a finalist. Maybe. It'd been a long wait, probably. But no way he should have would have gone in before Leroy Butler. Did Jair return punts in college? Jeff, he did. And that's why I wanted him to return punts at the beginning of the year. But they've never done it. They had him there in camp. He was one of the guys in the rotation. But he hasn't taken one in the regular season yet. Prediction? Braden, prediction. Pain. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Thank you so much. Thanks for putting up with me as a solo host on Transplants. Banky will be back next week. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. I'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, whether it's here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why we're here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?